the ones too. Yeah.
Here he.
Oh yes.
Good morning. I'd like to call the meeting to public safety and security for the Board of Westchester County to order. It's approximately 9:08. We have a quorum present and legislators Nona, Burton, Harkham, and Pinto. We do have a purpose for the meeting to discuss fire extinguisher and fire suppression systems, a new law for the County of Westchester. This is a continuation. So what we're going to try to do today is do a quick synopsis of where we were last year. We never completed our actions the last term. We do have with us Commissioner Tony Sutton and John Cullen from Emergency Services, whom I've asked to come. We have Mr. Brady from our licensing board area in the county, over in the clerk's office area. And we do have some guests present who have been here before, as well as Ms. Melanie Montalto, our secretary and assistant, and Larry Goldstein, who also is on the floor. Let me just quickly go over the reason for our actions. Last year, Legislator Ryan and myself submitted a request to review the need for a fire suppression, fire extinguisher licensing law. You guys want to come on up front. You're the keys to opening the lock here. What we had was several meetings and several discussions. We did have people from Nassau, Suffolk. We do have a copy of each county's law with us. We did review the City of New York's law. And a number of us on the board and in communities and discussion with some community fire code inspection officers and town code enforcement officers were very concerned that the public safety was in jeopardy. And it was in jeopardy with regard to some of the following. People were going around claiming they were licensed or providing the service of testing fire extinguishers and fire suppression systems. And for the purpose of today, the fire suppression systems are most notably in kitchens or in buildings where you would have a need for a certain chemical suppression system and a pipe-in system, so that should there be a kitchen fire, it would suppress the fire completely, quickly, and kind of hold it down. We've come to find that they were using the wrong chemicals. They were not doing the complete electrical circuitry. People were testing fire extinguishers and giving them water fire extinguishers in the kitchen area where there should have been a chemical suppression system. They've been saying they've been filling them up and just coming back and tagging them. And there really is no recourse. I know there's a state law. And one of the things we felt very strongly about was continuing discussion immediately this year and trying to get our acts together and seeing if we can't come up with good open discussion and a viable law for the County of Westchester that would require people to be licensed, be tested, more than likely through human resources as we do most of our testing, and then determine how we would establish a board similar to the electrical licensing board and the plumbing licensing board. Fines and everything, there were some questions from some of the local code enforcement officers about if they do issue summonses, would some of the money go back to them? You know, those are the kind of things that will come back to kind of, you know, just tweak the law. But, you know, we had talked about, I think it was a $200 licensing fee for testing for the full license. And in order to do so, you had to have access to a shop that would have all the qualified and certified equipment, repair equipment, and the ability to put together a suppression system that met our local law, as well as checking fire extinguishers and making sure that the tags on them were correct. So that should a fire code enforcement officer from those communities that have them, and I know we have it in East Chester, we have a fire district in Nurshell, and other fire districts where they do have a member of the department go out and certify and inspect various restaurants. In other areas, they have code enforcement officers in the building departments or code enforcement officers for the communities that could go out and inspect them. And I think having said what I just did, pretty much covers everything. If there's any member of the board committee who would like to add to that, please feel free to do so. And with that having been said, after any comments or additions or corrections you would like to make of any comments I made, then we'll ask Commissioner Sutton and Cullen and members of, you know, our esteemed fire, you know, services departments comment on it. And we do have some guests here today who are in that field. We'll go from there.
I think there were three issues that were the primary issues from last year. One was, who was the licensing authority? We had a draft law that was prepared that provided that the county clerk would be the licensing authority. The county clerk, as you, those of you who are here know, have wanted nothing to do with it. So we talked about the fire advisory board, but I don't think we ever reached any conclusions as to who the licensing, in other words, who would make a decision that as to who would get a license, who would actually pass upon the qualifications. So that's an issue I think that got left unresolved.
Right.
The second issue was the standards, you know, what standards do you have to meet to get licensed and to be an inspector. And I know we have in the packet samples of the laws that Nassau and Suffolk passed, and I thought that we could certainly, based on discussions last year, kind of follow that model because it looked like it made some sense. Oh, the other thing coming back to licensing, which was raised last year, was the fact that if you have a company that's licensed in Nassau or Suffolk, they shouldn't have to, the license could carry over here. I mean, it could be some
reciprocity.
Right. So that goes back to the licensing. But the standards, I thought, you know, we should look at Nassau and Suffolk. And then the third issue, which I think you touched on, Mr. Chairman, is the enforcement. And, you know, who does the inspection? Is it local code enforcement officers or a fire safety officer? But one concern that came up last year was that we didn't put unfunded mandates on localities. So maybe that's where they would get some of the money back, that there would be some money available if they're going to go out and enforce this new law that we're putting on the books and we're telling them they have to enforce it.
Well, that's why I had commented, John, about the ability to, if there is a fine, that some of the fine money or the fine money would go, and we would handle the licensing fees and the testing fees through the county. And then it would give a good incentive if they participated in some of the local fines since they were doing the inspections, if that's the way we decide to go. And if that's not the way we decide to go, then we have to look at a whole new format in terms of who's going to be inspectors. There was brief mention last year about consumer affairs, but I really didn't pursue that matter because they have their hands filled. And, you know, while the county clerk said that he didn't really, you know, want to look into licensing and everything, but he did have the wherewithal and the computer system to do so. And I think we did question, you know, Commissioner Sutton about issuing ID cards. The big question with reciprocity, I thought we discussed it, and some of you are here that might fill us in further discussion, was, you know, if the law is fairly similar and the testing is deemed to be appropriate that they give and we go with that same testing, then we can talk about reciprocity. And I know that was mentioned last year vis-a-vis the Taxi Limousine Commission, where if you're licensed in Westchester now, you can go out and drive in the other communities and vice versa or whatever. So we'll go from there. And I just want to mention that we've been joined by Legislator Judith Myers. And if anybody else, Peter?
No, that was a great summary, Mr. Chair. And
okay. Well, then let's take it from. We do have a copy, and I don't know. I'm sure there are some up on the files, right, Melanie? We have a copy of what we've drafted from last year, which is has a, you know, a transmittal. It's not really full transmittal, but committee cover sheet with fire extinguisher legislation that we had from last year. Talked about the licensing board. We do have a copy of the Suffolk and the Nassau County fire prevention laws that are here. And we do have a correspondence from our county clerk, Tim Idoni, which talks about some of the exemptions and other matters with regard to this law. My purpose for today would be to open the discussion to pursue tweaking of the law as this committee sees fit by having it transmitted down to our county law department and along with copies of the other two laws and seeing if we can't, within a due period of time, come up with some of the questions that we want them to address in the drafting of a new law. We've also been joined by member Bill Ryan, who was one of the sponsors of making sure that this got into committee again this year. Bill, thank you. If you had any comments, no. We just kind of gave a quick synopsis, and I'm asking if they want to review the four items that I have with us and take a look at them. And I wanted to make sure that we began the discussion and then came back as needed in the near future to discuss tweaking the law, determining who would be the licensing authority and how we would review it and how we would enforce it. Commissioner, if you would like to, and then we do have Mr. Brady from over in the, where they didn't actually say no to it.
Well, I won't be so quick to dismiss it, but I do want to point out, as I think I did the last time we were here, first of all, good morning and thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to support this. There are obvious budgetary concerns and staffing concerns. I think that if we do... I would caution you to really look at the makeup of the Fire Advisory Board and its purpose before we kind of look to them to pick this up as a responsibility. And as I said, any real kind of impact in terms of additional staffing or funding really needs to be studied, because it would definitely need to show some kind of a revenue stream along with it. My real concerns are establishing the authority and whatever group would administer this, the staffing, the equipment, who makes up the tests, and how do we issue the IDs. They obviously would have to be part of a database that could be easily manipulated and available to many people. The current ID systems that we have are relatively old and limited in function. We use them for our volunteer teams, the hazmat group, the technical rescue team, the animal rescue team, the Westchester Emergency Volunteer Reserves, the Medical Reserve Corps. But again, there would be a cost and there would be limited function available with those. We don't have a very robust software system that accompanies those ID systems. I think it's a great idea, as we echoed from last time we were here, that it's definitely needed. We've all heard the horror stories, it's definitely something to fill. Fortunately, we're not the first ones dipping our toe here, so we do have good lessons learned and best practices from not only Nassau and Suffolk, but also the New York City experience. With that, I think I'm anxious to hear from the other reps here, and certainly from Deputy Commissioner Cullen, who I think everybody has been introduced to this morning, but for those of you who haven't, John comes to us from City of White Plains and has 35 years of experience in volunteer and career side of the fire service, and very extensive history in the fire prevention side of things as well. And for those of you who listened to CBS radio over the weekend, or CBS television, that was him talking about carbon monoxide alarms as well.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So.
And I have to admit, I have to run out and buy one. We didn't do a good job at making sure we had enough of stock and stuff. But
so
now I have one already.
You know, I just think that whatever we do needs to be very well thought out. And as you said, it needs to, as with any program of this nature, there needs to be, if we're going to expect the enforcement to be on the part of the locals down there. They too are struggling with the situations as they are and would need to see some kind of revenue from these.
Well, to that point, last year we did have a number of people from the different departments, and we had some from up Mount Kisco way, we had some from south, we had some from Greenberg, we had different, you know, fire inspector and code enforcement, speakers, and we did have some just building department code enforcement speakers. And to that, maybe you gentlemen could speak and address what your purpose is now as a code enforcement officer. Do you or do you not get involved in inspecting, you know, different restaurants and fraternal and social clubs when they have kitchens, and do you not keep records already of, I know in Eastchester we have a code enforcement officer who goes around and inspects various restaurants, and I should have asked Mr. Pintavala to come, but we can always get different information from different, you know, localities and communities. If any of you would like to address that as you're here, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I did.
Well, I would just like to add to the discussion that as far as the local inspectors go, right now...
excuse me, could you just make sure you give your names if
you're
speaking?
Larry DeSimone,
I know Larry is
Fire Marshal from the town of Greenberg and president of the Westchester Fire Marshals.
Right. If you don't mind, just so we have it on the tape, and then Melanie can keep a good, accurate record, and those visiting will know who you are.
I think the thing that would be of biggest help to us as inspectors would be to be able to look at a tag on an extinguisher and know that company is licensed by Westchester County. Obviously, when we're going through a building, some of our buildings might have 100 or 200 extinguishers.
Yep.
We're obviously not going to test them. I mean, it's a physical impossibility. Take the town of Greenberg. I cover 18 square miles and 44,000 people. Impossible for me to get that detailed in any inspection I do. But if I could flip that tag over and see it's to date, and I could see that the company is licensed by Westchester County, and do a quick look at the extinguisher to make sure that certain things were in place, and then I could move on. And if I could spot check, you know, 5 out of 20 in the building, that would be good. I don't want to say anything about cost involved, because I'm sure a supervisor or finer would want some kind of money back on. He's always looking to raise funds someplace. But it would not increase my inspection time by any means. It would actually save me time knowing that the company is licensed by Westchester County. And if I do find something wrong, now I have legislation that I can write a summons for.
That's my opinion.
Peter, you have on that
Yeah,
point?
Just a quick question on that. So it would be a helpful piece of information then to actually have the license number right on that tag.
Right on
the
tag.
You don't have to cross-reference, you know, 17 different companies. The license number right on the tag.
Right. I don't have to go back and look it up or carry a list with
right.
me. Well, you should carry a list. You'll have a list of all the license companies, and you can
but
look.
But still, you
if,
want that license right on the tag.
If the license and the license number is right there, if I have a problem with an extinguisher, I can always go back to the list, get the, you know, the name, the phone number, the address, and all that, and contact them. If I see something wrong or something I don't like about the extinguishers, it just makes my life a lot easier. Right now, you know, there are names and addresses on there. Some of them are really bogus, and there's no control over it. So a lot of times you're calling an empty phone number or writing to an empty address. So it gets us no place. You know? So this would be extremely helpful to us. And I don't. Billy does a lot of inspections. Billy Richardson from North Castle. I don't know as to how it would add any time to our inspection. In the long run, it might save time.
I agree with
sure,
that. Bill. Bill Richardson, Fire Marshal at North Castle. When we're out doing our inspections, we really have to spend a lot of time in this area looking at it, removing filters from ductwork to make sure that fusible links have been changed. And you'd be surprised. There's a lot of deficiencies we're finding out there.
Mm-hmm.
it would save a lot of time if we could look at a tag and say, hey, these guys, we know them, they're licensed, we know they do the proper work, we spot check it instead of spending hours going through the system. And again, I'd like to also reiterate too that there are a few bad apples out there. It's not the whole bunch. There's a lot of good guys out there doing this work. A lot I see, I mean, they find things that I miss. So there are really a lot of good guys out there. It's just a few bad ones that are putting the safety and lives of the public in danger and ripping off these people that are not expecting the proper job being done. And this would be a way to control it. As far as issuing licenses and boards and all, and I have to agree with the commissioner that they're stressed out over there right now with people and all, but maybe we could put a voluntary board in place similar to what you do with the electrician's license and the plumbing licenses through the emergency services, and not the advisory board because their function is completely different. Of a group of people within the business, from fire marshals, inspectors, maybe even some of the industry people, to control this and to put in place.
Bill, to that point, we did discuss the advisory board, and Tony made it clear last year that the advisory board makeup as it is today wasn't really sufficient. We did discuss coming up with a board in that area that would include somebody from the industry, somebody from communities, somebody from the county, and you know, do alternating terms of office so that they wouldn't all be replaceable, and make sure when we did it, we'd institute it, you know, if there were five members, you know, one for 5 years, one for 3, 2, 1, and then 5 years thereafter, and make sure that we had industry representation and go from there. It's pretty similar to what we do, right, with the electrical board and the plumbing board. And in the plumbing board, they do journeymen and testing and everything else. And in this case, we're looking at industry regulations and training and being able to pass a test, which they administer out in Suffolk and Nassau in the city, and making sure that along with the test they have, if they're a shop, they have an equipment ability in a shop to handle all aspects of fire suppression and fire extinguisher and, you know, refilling and checking. So that's what we would do. I mean, I don't make it any, you know, that's part of our job right now.
But on that point, if I may,
sure.
You know, I mean, that in and of itself means that we need to have the expertise to be able to go out and do a site visit pending a license and saying, okay, his equipment is adequate and you know, he has sufficient skill at operating it that it will qualify him as a vendor to be licensed in the county. I think in-house we don't have that expertise at the moment. So, you know, my concern here is, and again, I want to say that I absolutely support the concept that I think we need. I would love the opportunity to study this in detail and look at the best way for implementation,
okay,
the associated budgetary impact of that. I would really like to look at it from the perspective of the locality, because I think that, you know, again, unfunded mandates, I'm very sensitive to that because I'm the victim of it from the state.
And so are we, trust me.
So
I mean,
I don't want to make
this very clear.
Yeah, I don't want to make it cumbersome. I think that there's, you know, the one group that we really need to also embrace here is consumer affairs or you know, because there needs to be a stick with this. You know, there undoubtedly will be a time when a locality will come back and say, listen, we got this guy, he's coming in here, he's scheduled to come back next Thursday afternoon to go back to this restaurant to do some work. And, you know, in my mind, that means we would have to set up something like a sting, like, you know, Consumer Affairs or Weights and Measures does now, to be able to catch this person and have some kind of stick involved with that. I just, you know, again, I don't want to be very, very quick to pass the legislation, okay, and then have us struggle to really make
enforce it
and even applicable.
Yeah. Bill, you had it.
Mr. Burton had a question before, and I apologize for jumping in ahead of you.
Sure. Two points on this. There is an association, am I correct? And your membership criteria for that association are?
Which association?
Fire suppression contractors.
Yes.
And your criteria for joining are?
Well, the criteria for joining is just
pay your money, you join, but
then there's criteria that's required by the New York City, Nassau County, Suffolk County. I mean, pretty much a lot of these guys join so they don't, find themselves outside looking in, and there's really no criteria to join the association.
Unfortunately. So you function what, as a clearinghouse for information of how to deal with Nassau and Suffolk?
It's basically a clearinghouse for information on how to do your business and get into somebody else's business, and it's just information. And the board, Chief Fire's on the board in New York City, they do a great job, but it comes down to the to New York City, Suffolk, Nassau, actually going out and with their list, visiting the sites, giving you the test, and licensing you and putting you on a list. The associations are just, you can join, it's just not a big deal. And then, as far as that goes, once you're licensed, there's continuing education points that you have to maintain. So the portion about the setting up the committees is a great idea for you guys right off the bat, because we can give you a lot of information on how to set this up and get this thing kicked off. As far as the budget stuff, I can't help you with that, but I could certainly help you set up how to set up the criteria for preparing guys to take licenses, register, be licensed, continue the education.
If we were to, Mr. Chairman, require that anyone doing business in Westchester County be licensed in either New York City or Nassau or Suffolk, would that get us a quality of control without essentially the associated costs?
You have your hand up to answer that?
Yes.
Okay.
Just last meeting we brought up, there is an association.
Just for the record,
Bill
again,
Barnes,
Bill
State
Barnes.
Fire and Safety.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The National Association of Fire Equipment Distributors is a nationally recognized organization for our standards in the fire protection field, in the fire protection industry. They can come in and there's an exam that's nationally certified and nationally recognized, wrong terminology there, where they will give the necessary training both on portable fire extinguishers and pre-engineered fire extinguishing systems. They will give the exam. They have locations that it will be proctored at if an individual so chooses.
Online.
And they will also issue the necessary certificates for the individuals that pass that exam. And then from there, like the state of New Jersey's embraced that thought process and you submit your certification to the state or to whatever authority having jurisdiction, and from there you would conform to their guidelines. There is continuing education. You have to do so many hours in a 3-year period. And then from there, you have the option of either submitting that continuing education to renew your license and or you take another test.
Is there an expulsion mechanism?
Not that I know of. Taking that test compared to Nassau, Suffolk, and New York City, which I've taken all three tests, I find that the association's test is very specific to the industry. It's a difficult test. It's not a 10-question test. This is 50 or 60 questions, and you have to understand the fire codes, and you have to understand the industry. Nassau for portable fire extinguishers, 10, 15 questions. New York City might be 30 or 40 questions. But the NAFED test is specific, and you have to understand the thought process with the fire codes.
So if there's no methodology for revoking a membership or wouldn't be a license that's granted, what would it be? It would be a certification.
It would be the authority having jurisdiction that would have that ability to say, hey, something's been done incorrectly here, and taking the appropriate action. The National Association of Fire Equipment Distributors is not the authority having jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. It would be, in our sense, it would be the County of Westchester and or the local authority.
But from the point of view of then of a fire marshal who's going to rely on this, if someone turns out to be a bad apple, how do you then effectively take him out of the industry? And the answer is?
George, you all say fire protection. I was down in Suffolk County last week. I took their test and passed. And they informed me, Ed Springer wanted to be here and couldn't. He apologized.
Yes, he called.
But they also have, I believe, made two arrests in the last few months, and so is Nassau County. And I understand there's several guys in New York City that are being looked at right now through the Fire Prevention Bureau for unscrupulous business practices. So they'll go through a process. The Fire Prevention Bureau has reported them to the licensing division, and licensing will call them in and do interviews and take these complaints, and they stand to lose their license, which kind of serves the purpose of what you guys are trying to do.
Yes.
But the effect of it is then that the licensing bureau in the city of New York,
correct,
it appears to be the only one that has a revocation process you're aware of?
Suffolk does too, but not to that extent.
Uh-huh. What about, you say Nassau?
So Suffolk and Nassau do it through the fire marshal's office.
I see. Okay. So while it's not as aggressive as New York City's, there is
they
a method. And if we went down the road of just saying you must be certified in Nassau, Suffolk, or New York City, we would get a relatively rough and ready but effective system that we could then use to qualify people doing business in Westchester County. It wouldn't be ours. It would be somebody else's. And we could require certification from the National Association as part of that.
Yeah, there's two functions here. The certification process, which I was discussing through the National Association of Fire Equipment Distributors, but your process of supervision, handling complaints, handling things that compromise public safety and or firefighter safety, would be a county function that you set up your own rules and regulations to say, okay, listen, we saw this, and you have to come in before the licensing board or a group of peers and so forth to mitigate the issues. There are, you know, we're all human, we make mistakes each day, but there are individuals that are just flagrant compromising safety, and I think that's the whole purpose of this, to enhance public safety and get the people that are, I don't want to say experts in the industry, but people that are just there for the quick dollar, to get them out so that the organizations and the people that are trying to do the right thing, we've leveled the playing field, and more importantly, we have a standardized way of doing things within the county.
Well, Mr. Chairman, what I'm trying to get to is something that is not going to require emergency services or someone else, the county clerk's office, Department of Consumer Affairs, whatever, to set up a structure, but to give us something that we can use to provide a tool for the local fire marshals to be able to work with. I don't think it's the greatest solution to a problem, but it strikes me that at least gives us something to work with, and would serve the basis for creating a local law, which would begin to get at the problem. How we would then, if someone violates any building, any principle of not doing the right thing in Westchester County, how you would then go about getting at them, because we don't have anything to revoke, would be a second question. But at least the first question would be answered. You passed an exam somewhere and have been licensed. That was the only thing I guess I'm getting at.
Last year we had talked about the advisory board, and then we talked about a board that would have that power. You know, if somebody's deemed to get the license, they have to go through our board. What we had looked at, 5 people, 5-year terms, no compensation, a fee of 200, and a temporary, whatever, that limited thing for 100, similar to Nassau, Suffolk, and the city. And then if there was anybody brought to that board, just as somebody in violation of the electrical board or the plumbing board, they go before a hearing, do they not? And that board determines their culpability or their innocence. And in some cases, they're fined $2,000, $5,000. In some cases, they revoke their license to deal in Westchester County. And I would envision that we need some teeth with a board such as that. And, you know, the determination of a 5-member board and who those members are and appointed by, you know, the county executive or, and with approval from this board would be the teeth behind this law. I don't want to just see us look at a law with all my own personal opinion and say that we can't come up with any way of finding any teeth to revoke someone's license. I think then we're missing the purpose of this law. I'm not looking to slap somebody on the wrist who has purposefully gone out and negated the requirement of fire suppression system inspections and falsely certified or improperly administered or installed said device, and then walks away. And if they conduct business knowingly doing that, we're in trouble. And that's why I want to see something done in terms of my own individual. And I know, John, before Judy had a question.
Thank you.
That's why I'm ready.
Is there any opportunity for the use of the Department of Health, since they're already in, especially with regards to restaurants, any places, any food service establishments, if they're in there anyway looking at things, can they be utilized as sort of the enforcement arm to at least check? Has that been done anywhere?
Well, Billy, just to explain a little bit on how it really works at the state level, the state requires us as fire marshals inspectors to be code certified through the state of New York. I believe the health department, they're looking at health issues. They're certified in a different area.
Right.
They're looking at the preparation of the food that's being served. They're not looking at fire protection equipment. Neither, they would have to in turn become certified in that field, which would just, I think, add on a lot more to what they're doing.
To back up what Billy just said, I used to do my hotel inspections with the county health department, because we would run the fire alarm system and everything. You don't want to run it too many times, disturb guests and everything like that. I was informed this past few months ago that the county no longer runs fire alarm tests. So just what Billy says, they're getting away from fire protection and concentrating on health protection, which would be cleanliness and
food preparation,
things like that, which that kind of makes sense. They're getting away from the fire protection end of it. So that's just to back up what Billy said.
George, go ahead.
No, you go first.
I just wanted to, I know we've talked about this several times before in many meetings, probably, I guess, 6 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Would it not be time to now put a committee together so a committee can work and come up with all these answers that we're talking about and come to the board and say, this is option A, B, and C, and then have everybody agree to something and get this thing rolling?
Wants to talk after. You keep looking. I mean, you came for a purpose, so I'll recognize you in a minute.
Okay.
Let John know.
Following up on George, this is where I think we are. You know, we had a local law drafted last year, and we have the Nassau and Suffolk and laws. And our local law that was drafted by the county attorney paralleled some of the Nassau and some of the Suffolk. So this is where I think we have to go in forming some committee or having somebody look at this and decide what we need to, the holes we need to plug in or how we need to refine this law. The first issue is the licensing aspect. There's 3 issues, as I hear everybody. The licensing issue, the inspection issue, you talked about what the tags have to have so you can properly inspect, and third is the enforcement. So those are the three areas the law has to deal with. And our law does try to deal with those areas. And I'd just like to spend some time mentioning where I think the holes are, and maybe we can get some reaction. On the licensing, the law we drafted provides for a separate licensing body called whatever it's called. But it's modeled after the Suffolk law. The Nassau law basically provided that the fire marshal of Nassau County issued the licenses. We don't have a county fire marshal. We have individuals. So that's why I think we went with this book, creating this board.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as the commissioner mentions, the board has to be given resources to be able to issue these licenses and evaluate the candidates. So that's the funding and the unfunded mandate issue. There are two aspects to the qualifying someone from a license. Once you have the board that's going to do it, how are they going to make that decision? There's a test, and I think to the extent we can outsource the test and use somebody else's test, that makes a lot of sense. But we also have these requirements that I think are modeled after both the Nassau and the Suffolk law, that somebody who's in the business of servicing fire extinguishing and fire systems has to have certain equipment. So somebody has to go look to see whether they have that equipment.
Shop.
Now, obviously, to the extent, as Bill mentioned, there's already a licensing procedure in New York City, Nassau, and Suffolk that models what we want to do, and they qualify and they have a license where they pass the test and they have this equipment. We don't have to reduplicate that. But there is a second aspect besides the licensing, besides the testing, and that's having the equipment. So, again, who's going to go out? We have to decide who's going to go out and
let me
and
just
license.
Ask a simple question. It may or may not be a devil's advocate, and you would know better. You're licensed in Suffolk, Nassau, you have a shop out there. Now you want to come and work in Westchester, and you want to open up a shop here so that you have ease of picking up equipment, supplies, a major shop, hoping that your business would grow to where perhaps your shop in Nassau or Suffolk couldn't handle the amount of business that you want to do. If you're licensed in Nassau and you use your shop out there as an example, would we still just approve your shop here, or would we have to check it?
You'd have to check it. Nassau comes out to us, Suffolk comes out to us, they charge. So I think New York City comes out to us, we get a bill.
You're here, you're in Westchester.
We're in Westchester.
So they come here.
So we're licensed in New York, Suffolk, Nassau. They all come out, and they send us a bill after they come out, after they inspect our shop for a couple $100. I think New York City is like $300 or $400.
But that's because we don't have licensing in Westchester. But say we did, I don't see their law provides for reciprocity. I have to look more closely. Okay. But I don't think their laws provide for reciprocity.
I didn't
say
that.
You know, if somebody has a shop in Nassau and they've inspected that shop and that's the shop they're going to operate out of when they come to Westchester, why do we have to go out and inspect it if they've done it? Does that make sense, or is there a reason we should?
It does, but I think for your own purposes, you want to know who you're dealing with, and I think that's how they...
Okay, so maybe we want to inspect it. Maybe we want to inspect it. The second issue, if I can...
Sure, go right ahead, John. You're on a roll.
is the tags. I think we got that covered, because we've modeled our law after Nassau and Suffolk, which does require, you know, that the person's license be on there, the name, address, phone number of the person, and all kinds of other information. I think we've got that part covered.
Mm-hmm.
The third aspect, I think we have to work on the enforcement.
Yeah.
Because there's two aspects. One is the if there's a violation, what happens? We have up to $5,000 fine to be enforced in a civil action. And I think that's cumbersome. I mean, who brings a civil action? You know, what court? I know we had some brief discussion last time of making a criminal offense to violate this.
Okay.
So we want to think about whether we want to make it a criminal offense.
Yeah. No, well, to that, and we did talk about that, and I just wanted to make sure I looked at Mr. Brady. They do administrative in the Electrical and Plumbing Board. They don't do civil action right now. So they handle it administratively in terms of fines and dispensing of enforcement.
So we should consider that too. So administrative law judge hears the case, right?
No, it's run by the board.
The board hears
the
case.
Yeah.
The board hears the case.
I mean, and that's how, I mean, you know, and perhaps we should find out the next scheduled meeting, and some of us should go visit them, because they've invited us to meetings, and I know I've attended a couple electrical and plumbing board meetings in previous years, just to see the workings and to see a hearing, you know, take place and everything.
All right, so there's three choices, criminal, civil, or administrative?
Administrative.
And the revocation issue, which was raised, I think is really an important issue, because as I looked at one of the laws, I think it's the Nassau law, the Suffolk law, I didn't even see a revocation provision. And our draft law,
yeah.
The Suffolk one does?
I thought they had.
The Nassau one does. The Nassau one says, the license is subject to revocation or suspension by the fire marshal at any time when the license holder displays evidence of noncompliance with the provisions of this ordinance. That's too vague. You can't have that. You should have something like if someone commits three violations or some number of violations, they're subject to revocation. I don't know if one is enough. Probably not enough. But maybe, you know, upon the second violation or conviction or finding of a second violation, the license is subject to revocation by the board. But our draft law that we had prepared did not
address that.
And I'm just confirming it, does not have any revocation. But I think you have to have a provision for repeat violator to get their license revoked.
But I think, John, in that regard, when we do discuss it, you know, if we do a law, then we must determine the licensing board, the makeup, the enforcement of that board, and if we want to do administrative so that we don't have to worry about all the others. And that would be part of our discussion. So
that's my comments further after you'd say it's not.
Give me that legal. Would you like to say something?
Yes,
I know you guys came.
Anthony Catalano, Chief Fire Prevention. One of the things that New York City and Nassau County has that I haven't heard discussed is they actually have two licenses. They have one for portable extinguishers and one for fixed fire suppression systems. Reason being, on fixed fire suppression systems, they're manufacturer specific. For instance, if you are a Kitty distributor, you can then replace a Kitty tank, or you're trained by Kitty to service that particular system. The manufacturer supports that company for training and servicing on that system and installing that system. If I'm not a Kitty distributor, I would not be able to get a Kitty tank if it needs to be replaced. So with fixed fire suppression systems, they're all manufacturer specific. So you can have a company that's licensed to do portables in New York City, there's 67 of them, but there's only 27 licensed to install and service fixed fire suppression kitchen arrangement systems.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to start a bill or start legislation, you need to think about that before it just becomes wide open, where a company that does not sell or install services, because now the liability and the functionality of that system is not being backed by the manufacturer if that company's not certified.
Okay. So is that George?
That's one of the first meetings that we had.
We talked about a full license and then a limited use license.
Exactly. That was,
I think, Anthony. The limited use license was for just fire extinguishers, but I don't want to just think and assume. And that's a good point.
Hey, it's a very good book. It's the only copy, the only Nassau law we have a copy of is the portable one. We don't have the other one.
Right. So I have New York City right here.
But Nassau also has a fixed one besides portable.
Correct.
We don't have it, so we should get it.
Okay, Anthony, Mr. Catalano. Yes. Good. Anthony said that when we met earlier that he helped write the New York City law for your company.
Yeah.
So you represent a company in service?
Correct. Okay. And just like, you know, with George and Billy, you know, we're licensed in New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, Nassau, and in the process of Suffolk also.
Okay.
But we're missing that Nassau law.
Okay. Well, that's a good point, and certainly,
thank
you know,
this right,
all
on
your services, you've given us
it's the only, the Nassau
your
one is,
card.
The only one we have is the portable
one.
We don't have the other one.
We don't
Suffolk
have
is both. Suffolk is, if you look at Suffolk, it says
Suffolk has
portable both. And automatic.
Full use.
The other
get you both
automatic.
On Suffolk, Nassau,
and we should have New York City, too.
And Jersey.
Okay.
This Jersey has separate licenses as well for installation of hoods and systems.
Good, appreciate that. Any other comments? Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a procedural question. It seems that, and I don't mean to speak for the group, but it just seems that over time there's been consensus among this committee to go ahead and draft legislation. I think we all feel strongly that it's important. I'm thinking procedurally because we're now really focused on drafting legislation. I think back to the model when we did the DWI legislation. We did joint with the legislation committee, and I'm wondering whether there might be merit, starting with our next meeting, to bring the two committees together to work on a parallel track so we don't have one committee working on one way and then the other committee coming in. I'm just wondering if there's merit.
I think that's a very good suggestion, because then that makes us move a little more quickly than we usually, that most legislative bodies move. It moves it along more quickly because we
chair legislation.
That's right. So I think it's a very good suggestion.
I figured you would think.
But we need the county attorney to get all this input from today.
And, yeah. And what we will do is
this law needs work.
I will.
No, they're not here,
sir. Question on the local law. Is the local law going to be designed to? I don't want to use the word protect the employer, but for example, if we have 20 employees and we spend X amount of dollars and we train 20 employees. And we make the expenditure to get them licensed and certified. Is that an open ticket for those individuals to freelance because, quote unquote, they are now licensed?
That's a good point.
I urge this board to.
I wouldn't want to see that.
That license is for that employer. And if they so choose to go to another employer, that's fine, but they would have to, once again, take that process over.
Or otherwise establish their own company. That's an excellent point.
So a person gets licensed, not a company?
Well, as the employer, I would have a license, the company would be licensed, and my employees would be licensed. But it's a different application where if they so choose to leave the company or decide on Saturday I'm going to go out and service 5 fire systems because I'm licensed, they're technically working under my license for the lack of a better word.
Because you have to have certain equipment, right?
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
The license correct. Process means you're being licensed because you have the right equipment. If they go work for somebody else who doesn't have that equipment.
Right. You're opening up the, and I understand fair trade and everyone should work, but you're opening up for people to freelance and use that license the way it's not designed.
Okay. Well, there would be, in effect, a technician's license and a company license.
True, but that technician should not be allowed to go out and freelance on his own.
Without a technician should not have the ability to pretend that he's a company.
Well,
I don't see the dual licenses.
In New York City, they have that.
Right, yes, that's what I'm trying to
set that up. In New York City, what Billy's trying to say is, in New York City, they have set that up, that if he has 20 employees, I have 20 employees, they have to take the test, they have to be certified. They are certified to work as certified service technicians under AllSafe, Interstate, Chief Fire, but if they leave their employ, they're no longer certified. That becomes null and void, their certificate.
It's not just a matter of leaving, though, George. Company. I think what Bill is trying to say is if they still stay with that employer and go out and do some freelancing and then try to portray that they're working for that company and doing jobs on the side.
Well, that
becomes a ticklish situation.
That's a different issue.
Am I reading you correctly or understanding you correctly?
You're asking for the fire extinguisher tag to have a company license.
Right.
But that individual that is servicing that equipment, yes, he's working under the employer's license, but should also have a license or a certificate of fitness number, some sort of means of identification, so the marshals understand, or the authority having jurisdiction, as okay, license number 123 of Interstate Fire and Safety did this work. And this just adds more teeth.
Kind of like this suit was inspected by.
And that second question, as far as enforcement, I have concerns of people that might be overzealous in certain avenues as far as enforcement. And I just, before we walk, we should crawl. I've heard, of course, there's people in Suffolk County that are having criminal action, et cetera, but those are repeat offenders. Mm-hmm. And I would just like to know, as from the employer's aspect, if one of my technicians is having a rough day and decides not to replace the fire extinguisher seal, that enforcement, of course, is going to affect my livelihood.
Yep.
But you do something to that technician, I fire him, he can go work for someone else, but I might lose my livelihood. I'm just asking that within the enforcement section that there be different levels, maybe against the technician. If the employer is advocating something, of course, the employer is negligent as well.
Yeah, I think we could certainly discuss that, and I don't know how easily we'll come to a resolution on it, but I've seen situations where that does occur, you know, in different other areas. You can't hold the... While the employer holds the license, you know, there's a journeyman or there's somebody else who's done something wrong, then you want to make sure that person is dealt with most forthright. And you don't want to say it's a black ball, but certainly that record has to be taken by that individual, and it goes for future employment in terms of a reference from you or a reference from George or a reference from Anthony. Am I reading that okay?
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
Bill. One last point. This is a particularly difficult time for anyone, especially county government, to be talking about new functions, mm-hmm. new services. We all recognize that, and I think it's very important that we have commissioners and officials who come before us who appropriately point out that they're getting the job done and they're making the most of the resources that they have at their disposal. They're really strained, and yet they're still turning in top-notch performances. So I think going forward, as the two committees further improve the legislation and actually work to get a detailed working model on the table, that they do so, and the approach needs to be one where everything that is needed has to be laid out. And all the ability that the county might have to interface with local officials, that has to be clear. Because in the end, it will be a cooperation between locals and the county to provide a new service that will ensure the safety of the public. And if at least in my view as one legislator, because it is a public safety matter, and it is critically important that we recognize that as one of our core missions, certainly, to protect the public, that we lay the model out in a way where we don't compromise any of the system. We lay it out for what it needs to be, and then we make the decision as to what we can best do to support that model when we put it into place, and who are the best departments, cost centers, that we bring into the mix, whether it's a combination of emergency services or the clerk or consumer affairs, whoever it is. But we lay it out, and then we deal with the issues of where it is on the ladder of the priority ladder, and how we support its needs.
Thank you. Bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Would it be appropriate for this committee to have a subcommittee to answer? I think we brought up more questions.
Sure.
Than answers today, and I think I don't know if it would be appropriate to a subcommittee made up of people to do this. And
let me say this: what we need to do is get together with representatives from the county attorney, county executive, emergency services, county clerk, and legislation committee. I'll leave the legislation committee chair John Nona to determine if he wants to have a subcommittee with us, and then we'll do one subcommittee with representatives from legislation who do not sit on this board, perhaps, or who do sit on this board, whichever the determination is. And we can do the same and ask for representatives from the industry if they would volunteer, that we could set some meetings up and begin looking at this in earnest, taking into account the questions we've heard, the three items that Mr. Nona pointed out, and looking and inviting perhaps others from industry and others from our municipalities. So that we can get a good feel from the municipalities as well as consumer affairs. I would imagine we'd need a rep at least to come and talk to us from consumer affairs.
Mr. Chairman, we'll be willing to helping with that.
I know you always are, Tony. I appreciate it. Mr. Cullen as well. If with his background and resources availability, you know, if you wouldn't mind if we could tap you and say, come on to a meeting and let's go over some items. And we have all your names and addresses. And certainly, Anthony, if you would like us to contact you, since you were very instrumental in the city law, we'd be happy to.
Yeah, we need help from those of you that are,
we do want to do it right,
knowledgeable and familiar about this area.
But I have to say, you know, we've all have examples from our own communities and from throughout the county, people who've called and given us some, you know, what I think is some very detrimental, you know, actions taken, and that's the reason that we need to proceed and go forward. Before we do adjourn, I want to thank everybody for taking the time out of your busy day, joining us here, and we do have one set of minutes.
So moved. That,
Mr. Nona has moved, seconded by Ms. Myers. Any further discussion on them? The minutes are for February 1st, 2010, and when we get meetings from last year, we'll work on it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There'll be no nays? Okay. Approved. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved by Judy, seconded by Bill. All in favor.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
George's last name.
Cooley.
Huh?
Yeah. Cooley. I always say you age as you well.
Any sense of what the cost would be to set up? I mean, even if we just sort of duplicated the public or electoral board.
No, I don't like it.